consider it. Give all you can.
We're going to finish up on what I've been teaching on, and starting next week, we're going back to war, and we're going to be teaching on war again, but I'm hoping it's going to be fresh. I'm going to probably use some of the same material, but we're going to study it and try to bring stuff that we didn't bring before. But you say, you know, why are you concentrating on war? Because I'll tell you what, it's we're in a fight. It's getting hotter. The battle's getting hotter and hotter all the time. And I know, you know, we set out, you know, for revival. And but from that moment on, I mean, boy, I mean, my life seemed like I was just constantly getting picked on by the devil in my mind and my whatever, you know. I've been having some crazy dreams that, like, I hadn't dreamed in years. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, I remember a time in my life I had to pray over my dreams. I was having all these wicked dreams. And I'd say, you know, where'd that come from? It come out of my wicked heart. But, you know, I didn't, you know, I had to ask the Lord, you know, to clean my dreams up. Because I was being attacked there in my sleep even. And the devil, he knows how to push. He wars against our minds. And buddy, everywhere you look, I mean, the attack is on. You can't even go into buy groceries without, you know, without seeing something that you get out of there and wish you hadn't seen, you know, just everywhere. And if you're watching a ball game, you know, it's really bad. I mean, I don't watch ball, but I just know. Matter of fact, it's just about everywhere as you turn. Try to get, you know, find clean entertainment. I don't know if there is any anymore. Best thing you can do is get together and talk and have a good time, eat and fellowship and getting your Bibles. All right. Now, I like you men also to pray about something. We're going to try to do something to get our buses moving a little bit better than they have been. So probably after the holidays, we're going to have a family store, a country store. Brother Rick, you remember we did that before? And we're going to try to do a country store and try to get people to earn Bible bucks, you know, by memorizing Bible verses and bringing friends and doing things, you know, that that God would have young people to do, and then they can earn Bible bucks. And then we can have a store where they can go in there and have some things that they can buy that's, you know, decent and upright, and we can have we'll probably have some Bibles in there. We'll probably have some of that stuff that rots your teeth out and all that kind of stuff, you know. But if you would pray about that, and if you can contribute, think about it, how you might contribute. We're going to need to take up stuff. If you got some old things you want to get rid of, but it's okay, it's nice, you know, bring it. If you got some grandkids' toys that are, you know, you don't really have, your grandkids are getting past that age and you want to get rid of them, you know, just be thinking about that and pray about that, okay? We're going to have to take up some donations, and hopefully maybe we can raise a little bit of money to help buy some stuff, you know, for the country store. Okay, we've been talking. Let's take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, back in the book of John, chapters 14. John chapter 14. Lord mentioned it. I mean, yeah, Lord. The preacher mentioned this verse yesterday. Beginning in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we've been looking at the way. Now, we're going to go over my outline for the last couple of weeks quickly and then finish up on His ways, His ways. We looked at, first off, here in these verses, you see Jesus is the way. He's the only way, according to these verses, to the Father. And that's what you see here. There's no other way to come to Father God but through our big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. Now, not only is He the way to the Father, but notice this also. He's the way to all truth. All truth. Because He's not only the way, He's the truth. And you're not going to know truth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one that teaches you the truth through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Joe made mention this many times. He said, the Holy Spirit, He said, I will send another, you know, like unto me, you know, and the same as. They're the same. They're the same. In nature, in mind, in heart, they're the same. And Jesus Christ sent the Comforter, and that's the reason why when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's the same as receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're the same. They're indivisible. You don't get one without all, you know. If you got Christ, you know, you got the whole Godhead living in you. Now, that's an amazing thing, right? I mean, you think about it. When you get saved, when the Holy Spirit comes in, all of God lives in you. You don't get part of God, you get all of Him. Now, what a miracle, amen? That's really why the Bible said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And here's a greater miracle. Not only is all of God living in Brother Rick, all of God lives in Brother Ernie, all of God lives in Brother Parks or Brother Larry, Brother Mike, Terry. Hey, all of God lives in all of us that are saved. Amen? What a miracle. I mean, boy, I tell you what, that ought to make a backslid Presbyterian shout all over the place if we could ever get a hold of how miraculous salvation is and receiving the Spirit of God. Boy, you get saved, you get all of God. You don't get part of Him, all of Him. Now here's the problem. A lot of times we get saved and God don't get all of us. Because we hold back. God don't make us give. And you know, we have seasons where He's got more of us than at other times. You know? And that's the reason why this thing of revival is so important. We need to be looking at ourselves all the time. We need to be in this book all the time. Because, boy, this candle or this word goes down inside of us and shows us, you know, things that we need to get right, you see. And so not only is He the way to the Father, but He's the way to all truth. And He is the life. He's the way to the life. You're not going to have life apart from receiving the way that God gave us, which was His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you've not received the way, then you don't have life. You're dead. So He is not only the way to God the Father, He's the way to all truth, and He's the way to the life that God gives to people that will receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was talking with Brother Rick yesterday. I said, there's some things, I mean, you just don't have no understanding apart from the Spirit of God. You can know some things, but you don't understand it. Before I got saved, if you'd have asked Brother Dave Lessie, you'd come to my house. Hey, Brother Rick, how many times you knocked on the door and talked to a fellow and you asked him, he says, hey, if you died today, Nugent, oh yeah, I'm sure. He said, well, how do you know? Well, I've been baptized. You know, I said, and I always tell him, said, well, you gotta be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God for sure. You gotta be baptized by Jesus Christ, you know, into the Holy Spirit. You got that. You're right. You got to be baptized. But not the kind, but not water. Water ain't gonna get it, is it? And that, they're talking about water. He said, or you ask him, he said, you know you're going to hell. Oh yeah. He said, well, I'm a good person. I'm a pretty good person. I'm sure that my good outweighs my bad. I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven, you know. And you'll hear all kinds of crazy stuff like that you know is wrong. But if you'd knocked on my door and asked me, you said, you know for sure you're going to heaven? I said, yes. You said, how do you know? I said, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for all my sins. That's what I'd have told you. But guess what? I wasn't saved. I was just what Paul said over here. He says, I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And was buried, and on the third day he arose again according to the Scriptures. And the Bible says, by this you're saved if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in what? Vain. So I had vain belief. You say, what was vain about what you believe? I had not received Jesus Christ. I hadn't understood how I needed Him. I understood what the preacher read to me, that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. He was buried, and He rose again from my dead. I understood that. But I didn't really understand the gospel. It wasn't good news for me. I just had a head knowledge of what God had done to bring salvation to me. But in 1984, Brother Ernie, the Holy Spirit come to me when he got done with me. I was some kind of sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing rascal. I saw me living and raising my family to go to a devil's hell. And that was what got my attention most of all. I saw my children going to hell because their daddy wasn't worth shooting. I said, oh God, if there's any way. I said, I can't do right. I tried. And at that moment, God showed me. I said, if there's any way, God, I wanted Him. You know what I'm saying? I wanted Him. I said, you're right. I'm wrong. I need you. I want you. And you know what happens when you want God and you want the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what happens? You get Him. You get Him. But you gotta get to that point where you want Him. There's a lot of people trying to hide from hell over through a prayer. They're trying to escape hell, but that doesn't mean that they want Jesus Christ. And buddy, and children are easily, not as much so now, but they used to easily be frightened. And you could get a boy, you could get a man just to profess. Brother Rick used to help work in the, what we call that, the bad boys class. Huh? Some of them come in there, they make profession after profession every week because we preach hot to them, didn't we? We preach to them hell hot, buddy. And you need to be saved. And we showed them, buddy, they were sinners. They understood that. And they understood that they were the devil's hell. But you know how many times some of them had made professions? Some of them had been baptized like 18 times. But they still weren't no closer to salvation. They were confused. But I said, this is wrong. We're doing something wrong here. But when somebody give an invitation, and if I took them out of the room, I sit down, and the first thing I'd ask them, have you ever asked Christ to save you before? And they said, yeah. I said, well, how many times? 15? Okay. How many times? You've been baptized? Yeah, about 15. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to go back to the room in there and pray about it and ask God to show you what's wrong. I said, but God only takes one time. I said, I'm not going to sit there and tell you one more time. You need to pray. It's prayer with me. I said, go back to the room. Sit about it. Go pray about it. You said, well, you should pray with them. We weren't helping them. Only God was going to be able to save them. If they would ask herself what was wrong, maybe they had a chance. But I remember our numbers started dropping down for professions. A lot of them quit coming forward for that. You say, was that good? I don't know. But I know one thing. Buddy, when you want Jesus Christ, you're going to get him right then. It ain't over and over and over again. I mean, I came forward three times in my life. Once when I was a 14-year-old boy, and people was praying for me. They wasn't sitting there telling me what to do. They were just praying for me. Praying, trying to pray me in. But you know what? They could have given me the gospel and I still wouldn't have got saved, Brother Rick. Because God was dealing with me on that altar. And all I could think about is, if I get saved, man, I won't be able to do this, and I won't be able to. And old devil had that carrot out there. Yeah, come on, you don't want to do this. You know, you'll lose all your friends at school when it's that and the other thing, you know. Another time, that Baptist preacher sat there and took me through the gospel to Romans Road, prayed that prayer. I know I'm off on a rabbit trail, but here I am. He took me out there and showed me the Romans Road. And I went down that Romans Road and he said, what do you think? I said, I believe it. I believe that Bible. I believe it's true. He said, would you like to call upon the name of the Lord? I said, yeah, of course. I didn't want to go to hell. Huh? I didn't want to go to hell. That's what he did. He told me I was going to hell, you know. I said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, would you like to be saved? Oh, yeah. Well, pray this prayer with me. And I pray. I said, oh, God. I know I'm a sinner. Boy, there wasn't no dying and dying that. I said, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Lord God, yes, will you save me? Didn't get saved. I was trying to buy some fire insurance. That's what was going on in my life. I was trying to buy some fire insurance. And God Almighty did not save me because you know why? He don't listen to our mouth. He looks in our heart and sees why we say, why we do what we do. Anyway, I didn't get saved. 1984. Gospel truth now. Gospel truth. This is the way I got saved. Sitting in my living room, drinking a beer, smoking pot, and reading the Bible. God came and found me where I was at. People say, yeah, you're crazy. That's where God found me. You know something? After that, I had beer. I had whiskey in my house probably 6 months after that. But after reading, I wasn't drinking anymore. It was just sitting down there. And after reading for a while, you know something? I said, what am I doing letting that stuff be in there? I took and poured it all out. Now, that bag of pot went that very day. I took it out here and flushed it down the commode that very day. There's a change that took place. So you got a permit? No, I'm far from it. I'm still, I got an old nature. It's just as wicked as it's ever been. It was dead then, and it's still rotten. Okay? And it's a war, and that's what we got to realize. It's a war, and the greatest enemy you got, you met him in the mirror this morning. Well, I'm done with that rabbit trail. We'll get on down the road now. I'm running out of time. Jesus is the way to the Father, and there is no other way. Now, we talked a little bit about the way of this world. If you got your Bibles quickly, turn to the book of, Job chapter 24. Job 24. I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to preach on it, so I'm just going to read this. And let you pick up on things that he said. Be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction. Their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house building by under... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Proverbs. I'm sorry. I went to the wrong book. Job 24. Put my glasses on. Job chapter 24. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His days? That's a wonderful question. Ask yourself that. Why, seeing times are not hidden? In other words, God sees the good times, the bad times. He sees everything that we do at all times. He knows our times. They know Him not, see His days. Some remove the landmarks. Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks, feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Behold, as wild asses in the desert, go they forth to their work, rising betimes for a prey. The wilderness yielded food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field. They gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing. They that have no covering in the cold, they are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing. They take away the sheaf from the hungry. They which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. Men groan, from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and the needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face, and in the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light, and for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadows of death. He is swift as the waters, their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow water, so doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreated the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty from his power. He riseth up. No man is sure of life. Though it be given him to be in safety, whereon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all others, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? Job said, if this ain't the way of this world, he said, prove me. Prove I'm wrong. Make me out to be a liar. Boy, look at the leaders across this world. Look at the way this world treats the poor. Look at the way this world, they love the rich, they hate the poor. They destroy the poor before, and guess who pays for everything? It ain't the rich, it's the poor. Tax them to death. Charge them to death. I mean, the rich says, well, I tell you what, my father-in-law taught me this. He worked for a battery company. He said, we could build a car battery, for approximately the same price as what you pay for a battery today, make profit, and the battery would last for the life of the car. He was an engineer for them. He knew what he was talking about. But he said, what we do is we build in an expiration on it. Because if you don't, you can't sell another one.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way it is world. It's all about get dog eat dog. Get what you got. If you got a little bit, I want it. And about all businesses is about getting what little bit you have. And what the businesses don't get, the government wants. How many of you in here thinks you really own anything? You say, I own my house and land. No, you don't. You'll find out how quickly. When you can't pay them taxes, you'll find out how quickly that belongs to you. They will come and take it. You know why? Because it don't belong to you. It belongs to the nation. It belongs to the county. It belongs to the state, and they're gonna get it if you can't pay your rent on it. This world is wicked. What else can I say? It's wicked. It's not out to help nobody. The devil has put this world together. You understand? He is the God of this world, and the ways of this world is wicked. Now, we looked a little bit about our ways. And the Bible says, consider your ways. We're either yielding to the Holy Spirit of God and walking in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're walking in our own ways. And if we are, whose ways are we actually walking in? Yeah, Satan. That's right. We're yielding ourselves. There is no man's land in this war. I mean, it's right up against one another. You know, you can't get out there and say, "Well, I'm going my own way. I'm bowing out of this war." No, you own. Jesus said, "You're either gathering or you're what?" Scattering. You're either gathering or you are scattering. You're either helping to bring people in or you're running them off. Now, we need to consider our ways. Boy, you think about what we read over the ways of adultery. And how many times we've seen over the years where pastors were caught in adultery. Youth workers. You know? Murder. Brother Rick, you remember this? They found this young woman over there in a trash barrel. She'd been cut in two. Tried to burn her up in a trash barrel. You know who did that? It was a preacher. It was a preacher of a Baptist church. Got her pregnant. She was going to make it, she was going to disclose it. So he killed her and tried to burn her up. You know, this world is so wicked. And it has always been that way. I know it's going to wax worse and worse. But I'm going to tell you, this world is just as, it was just as wicked. I mean, for example, I mean, we say, you know, things, we can't have revival or we can't do it anymore because times are so bad. Well, how do you think it was when Jesus walked this earth? How do you think it was when Paul went into Corinth and the whole city was given over to idolatry? Completely. There wasn't no churches. There wasn't no saved people. They were all given into idolatry. And everywhere as you walk, you can see footprints in the sand. It says, if you want a good time, boys, follow me. Just follow my footprints. Well, that's what they did. They printed themselves on the soles of the shoe. They were temple prostitutes. I mean, you know, it was wicked. I ain't never seen that around here. Now I tell you what, I did get out. I went out to Memphis, Tennessee, and they cleaned it up a lot since when I went out there. But when I got off the bus, guess what met me there at the bus station? Some hookers. I got off the bus. They were out there working the bus station. I said, and then we finally got us a taxi there to go where we was going to be staying. And the guy was riding us around all over town trying to take all our money. He didn't know where he was going. I finally said, pull over this place over here. I made him pull over. How much I owe you? Paid him money, took my luggage out, got on the phone and called the people we was going to be staying with. I said, will you get in a taxi and come get us? I'll pay the fare. I got a guy just riding us all over town trying to get money off of us. And while we was there, guess who come up to us? Hey, you want a boy? I want to go have a good time. I'm serious. And then and my buddy said, hey, Dave, you want to go party? I said, you crazy? So we go out there, they got some boyfriend out there that's gonna rob us, you knucklehead. You crazy? Hey, I'm saying, it's wicked. They cleaned that place up a whole lot compared to what it used to be. I remember there was a big old sign there in part of the town of Memphis. It said, we stopped Deep Throat. You remember that old vile, wicked. They put the sign up there. They stopped it. They got to that town. They took court litigation against it and walked right underneath of that. Guess who was out there walking around selling themselves? And you didn't know if they were men or women. That was a vile place. I said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. I'm ready to go home. I wasn't there long. I got out of that place. Never seen nothing like that in my life. But that's what Paul saw all the time. He was everywhere. Rampant. So we ain't got no excuse. Jesus Christ is still the way, the truth, the life. He can do anything. And whatever he did back then during those wicked times, in that time, he can do right now. He's the way. And he can make a way. Can he make a way in the wilderness? Hey, this world might be a wilderness right now, but I'm telling you, he can make a way in the wilderness. Amen. And the way of the wicked, and the way our ways, we need to consider our ways. Now, I want to look at the ways of Jesus Christ just for what time we got left. I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts, chapter 10. Just for a short while now, we're going to look at his ways. I said, consider your ways. And we're going to consider his ways. In Acts 10, verses 36. I'm actually going to begin 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I'm going to tell you something. God's with us too. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And Jesus said, the works that I do, he said, in greater works shall you do. And we need to get back to believing Jesus Christ. He wouldn't lie to us. We need to be expectant. We need to be expecting God to work. We need to believe that I don't care how bad these days are. I don't care how people are abandoning the church. We can get out there. There are people out there that's waiting for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just need some people to come talk to them. And if we don't, somebody else, God will send somebody. If he has to, Brother Rick, I say if he has to, hey, he'll use a charismatic. Church of God to give them the gospel. He has to. If we're too lazy. New evangelical or something like that. Somebody just got the gospel. They got the gospel, but he ain't got nothing else. He go out there. I know because, hey, when I got saved, I was in that Methodist church, and I'm going to tell you what, it was apostate. You understand what I'm saying? The church was apostate. But I was a believer, and there were some believers in that church. And we went out, and you know what we were doing when I got saved? You know what I started doing? Right, I went long after I got saved. Nobody had to tell me that you were supposed to go out there and tell people about Jesus. I did not have to be in a church that had a visitation program. I did not have to be in a church that had a bus ministry to know you're supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. You know who told me that? Huh? The Holy Spirit of God that lived in me when I read the Bible. He said, go, 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 go. He didn't say sit. He didn't say get a pew, get you a cushion for it. He said, go. And but I'll never forget. I looked at his head of things. He said, Bible bookstore. So what they got in there? I walked in that Bible bookstore and they had Bibles and they had some. They had these little booklets, pamphlets. I got to look at them, you know. Looking at these pamphlets, you know. Some of them had the gospel. Some of them had things about living for God. Some of them had things about the Bible. They said, and I said, well, these here look pretty good. And I read them, you know. And I ended up with a big old wad of them about that thick and walked up there. Said, 6 cents a piece. There's $106. I walked up there and I laid them. And this old man was looking at me. He was just smiling. He knew that he was looking at some young punk that something had just happened to in his life. He could just see it, you know. And I walked over and laid it down. He said, have a good day. And he smiled at me. I went walking out the door. And I walked out there on the street. And people was coming down the street, down in the street. You remember where the Bible bookstore was? And I went, you remember that old man used to work in there? And I went up the street. People coming. And I just handing out them little pamphlets. Because I knew you're supposed to tell people about Jesus, you know. And we started a visitation program. We got some people coming. We started a new Sunday school class. And we used the Bible. And you know, starting to get some kids in there. But you know what? One Sunday, there was a young black couple come in there. We'd been visiting around, and I'll never forget it. People come up there, and this is what they said to them when they come up there. They shook, good to have you visiting. I said, good morning. Good for you to be here. Hope you come back.
Amen.
I was sitting there thinking, I wish you was visiting. Huh? Never forget bringing this little dirty youngin. Live right next door. I mean, right next door. She didn't leave 20 feet from the church. Got her in there to Sunday school. They were really excited about her being there. You could tell. Huh? They scared they might get something from her. I know, and I'm off on a rabbit trail, but praise God, this is the ways of Jesus Christ. He cares about people. He don't care about how they're dressed, how they look, how they smell, or anything else. He cares about their souls. And that little girl, I said, she won't ever be back. My heart. I remember going and talking with, they got a new pastor there. And I got an appointment to talk with him. And I was talking to him about different things. I said, I can get people to come to church here. I know I can. All I have to do is go out there and visit and invite them. They'll come. But I told him straight up to his face, I said, but I just don't know if I should. He said, well, I think he's selling the church a little bit short. I said, look, I told him some of the things I was already seeing, you know. I said, we prayed about a visitation program. Our pastor before us was encouraging it, trying to get people to go out and care about people and reach out to people, you know. And some of the real old folks were all for that, you know what I mean? Some of them were saved, you know, they had the whole, but you know, a whole bunch of them. I don't know. It's kind of messing with our, you know, with our nice little club we got going here, you know. That's work. And man, they mess stuff up. And, I don't know. I don't really want to get to know these people, you know. I mean, golly. I mean, I knew. That's the way I felt. And I told him so. My uncle got saved and started coming to this church and invited me to come. And I'm going to tell you something. This church ain't been all it should be over the years. It hasn't. And I know I ain't been all I should be over the years. But I tell you one thing I saw. We had a group of people here who wanted to reach people with the gospel. I said, that's what I've been looking for. Thank God, we still got some folks here still want to do that. I just want to encourage you. Go for souls. And go for the worst. Go for the worst. Don't go for you get all the nice ones you can get too, but I mean go for the worst. You say, why would you say that? Because where there is much forgiveness, there is much love. I told you, I got saved over a beer can and a joint. And God saved me that day. You don't think you don't forget stuff like that, Brother Melvin. Huh? And I thank God. And I thank God it was God that done it. Yes, sir. Can't nobody take it away from me. I mean, I know who was there that day. God and me. I didn't have a preacher come in and convince me. It was the Spirit of God. Jesus went about doing good. Think about some of the ways of Jesus. One thing, I got several things. I just want to read them. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians. We're about done. Philippians chapter 2. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It really is. So much in here in those few words. I'm going to begin reading verse 2. It said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I like to say, Jesus, one of his ways, he went about doing good. And in John chapter 8, verse 29, he always did those things that pleased the Father. That's what he did. He always did those things that pleased the Father. And then in John 8:26-28, he only spoke the things his Father taught him. You know, we need to ask ourselves, what do we speak? Do we always please the Father? Do we always speak the things that God taught us? Or like I do many times, you're just talking out of your heart, which it ain't worth 2 cents. But in Philippians, he sought not a reputation for himself. There's a lot of preachers out there, buddy. That's what they want. They're out for a reputation. Huh? They're out for a reputation. They want to be known for something. They want to be respected. They want to be a big dog. You know? But Jesus Christ never sought a reputation. Matter of fact, when he healed somebody, you know what he told him? He says, don't tell it. Just go and do what you're supposed to do. Don't tell it. But they spread it abroad, did they not? He sought not a reputation. Not only that, not only go about doing good, not only do that which always pleased the Father, not only that, not only did he only speak the things that his Father taught him, and not only did not seek, he never sought a reputation for himself, he took on the form of a servant. And that is what we're to do. We are to have that same mind, that same nature, take on the form of a servant. Hey, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are servants unto God, unto God, to this world. We are his hands, his feet. He's still being a servant, and he wants to use us to serve this world. Jesus Christ, look at it. When Jesus Christ, he came in this world, hey, not to be served, but to serve, he said. Right? Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Notice it. And not only that, he died to himself. It says right here. And he died. Quickly, let me go quickly. He made himself no reputation, took on the nature of a servant, was made in the likeness of a man, and being in fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and notice this, and became obedient unto what? Death. He died to himself. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And he went to the cross, right? He went to the cross, and he did what? He died for us. And that's what we're to do. We're to die to ourselves, to live unto others. He died on the cross, was buried, went there and ministered again, went into the heart of the earth and ministered to those believers down there, and then rose from the dead. Why? For our justification, right? He ascended unto the Father and made atonement for our souls there. He took his blood and put it upon the mercy seat, made atonement for our souls, washed away all of our sins. The whole debt was paid now. And what does he do now? He ever lives to do what?
Intercede for us.
That's what our Lord does. That's the ways of our Lord. Now what do we do? That's what we must, that is the measuring stick. We look at what Jesus Christ has done and say, Lord, help me to yield myself to you because you want to use me to do the same thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer if you would. Brother Rick Hildebrand, would you pray for us?